Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
He's called It's Complicated, and today we're talking to all of our singles in the room. If you're not single today, you're married, and you're a little bit upset that we're not talking to you today, just recognize the fact that 98% of the time in church, we talk to married people and we don't talk to single people. So the single people need to get some love today because at one point or another, we were all single. And at some point, we may be single again. And you know what? Here's the thing about singles. I think it's important that the church needs to know how to live single. And it's important to me because my daughter is 11 and she's going to be single for at least the next 30, 40 years of her life. And I need her to know what it means to be single. Amen. All the dads said amen too. They know. So today what we want to do is we want to talk about being single. And one of the things I want to, right off the bat, I want to say is that single is not a sickness. Someone that's single is not a sickness. Single is not a problem that needs to be fixed. So for those of us that are married, for those of us that are older, it is not our job to fix every single person. It's not our job to find somebody a mate. That's God's job, not our job. So what we need to do is learn how to leave people alone and love them and bless them and not try to push them into something that they don't need to be pushed into. Amen? All the single people clapped. All the married people are tightening up right now. Listen, the fact is, there's plenty of people that were single in the Bible that did great things for God. The chief of whom is Jesus. Jesus. The one we come in here and raise our hands and worship and sing songs to was single. Can you imagine what it would have been like? And I'm sure there were people doing it. They're seeing Jesus healing people and they're walking up and they're saying, you know, Jesus, it's really good that you healed that person, but I got this girl over here. If you would just come with me, you can meet her because I know she's going to make your ministry even better. I know you're raising people from the dead, but if you could just get married, right? Like that's what we act like in church. Paul was single. Paul wrote a bunch of the New Testament. Paul evangelized parts of the world that nobody was evangelizing, and he never had a spouse. There was guys in the Old Testament. Nehemiah was probably single. He built the walls of Jerusalem. Daniel faced down the lions, and he was single. We need to understand something today, that single is not a sickness. Single is not a problem. Single is a season. And if you look at it as a season, then maybe we won't push people too hard. I got a little meme I thought was funny. I want you to check this out. It says, old people at weddings always poke me and say, you're next. So I started doing the same thing to them at funerals. You got to be careful. You got to be careful if you mess with a smart aleck single. Isn't that funny? And then when I put that up this morning and Sabrina was looking at it on the computer, she says, Philip says this all the time. Philip, you shouldn't say that anymore. You're married. I would stop doing that. It doesn't make sense. I want you to start viewing being single as a season of life. For some people, it may be a long season. For some people, it may be a short season. But being single is a season of life. And I want to say something else today before I get into the rest of the word. Is, you know, whenever I started writing the sermon and thinking this sermon through, One of the thoughts that hit my brain was that when I'm talking to singles, I'm talking to people that have never been married. But then it hit me so often in the Bible, it talks about singles, but it's talking about widows. It's talking about people that have been divorced or widowers also. And so there's this whole other section of being single that sometimes gets overlooked. And it's this idea of people that have had their hearts broken, they've been crushed, they've been hurt. And so there's a whole level of whenever we start as married people, start pushing people towards stuff or start saying things to people, trying to get them to do something, that we need to understand that it's not just a matter of they haven't found the right one yet. It's a matter of they've lost and they're hurt. So we've got to be careful to understand that. So today, when we talk about being single and we talk about it being a season, here's the main thing, the main quote I want you to understand today, and that is this. Instead of always trying to find the right one, we want to focus on being the right one. Instead of always trying to find the right one, we want to focus on being the right one. This is important. First of all, I heard someone say this the other day and I thought it was so smart and it made so much sense. Sometimes we hear the phrase, God's got one person out there for you. Like God's got this one magical person that's your person. And I just want you to know that's not true. That's not true. For some of you that are mean, God doesn't have anybody for you. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. Think about this for a second of how foolish this is. Let's put on our common sense brains and just think about it for a minute. If God only had one person for you and you married the wrong person and you had babies, then those babies are here illegally. They should not be here, right? And so therefore, every person they marry is the wrong person for them because they shouldn't have been here in the first place. And now we've got a whole world full of wrong people. So don't go through life thinking, there's only one person for me and I got to find that one person. No, you be the right person and God will bring somebody, if that's what He chooses for you, He will bring somebody alongside you that will help you and get you through. And so we need to have that mindset today of this idea of I need to stop trying to find something and I need to try to be something. Being is always more important than finding. The human beings are called beings because it's all about who we be, right? We got to be something. And so today we're going to talk about this. And I want to talk about a few things we can be as being single. So whenever you're taking notes today, I want you to look at this. It says, I can be single and, number one, be successful. I think it's important for you to see this. Now, a lot of times men don't have this problem as often as women do. But a lot of times men are always pushing for a career. They're always pushing to be successful. And so sometimes we forget ladies. We get this, I'm not a lady, but sometimes ladies get this mindset of, I've got to get a man in order to be successful, and that's just not true. We can all be successful without a spouse. As a matter of fact, I believe that God wants you to be successful without a spouse because what that shows is that shows you trust in Him more than you trust in man. So I want to look at what the word successful means. The definition of successful means to accomplish the accomplishment of one's goals. So right off the bat, let me just say, you need to have a goal in life. Like, don't go through life without any kind of goals. We need to start setting some goals. Set up some things that you want to do, that you want to accomplish, that you want to get done. You need to have goals. Your goal should not be to get married. Your goal should be to do some other things and let marriage be a byproduct of that. So we want to have goals. And then the next part of the definition says this. It says the attainment of wealth, position, or honor. The attainment of wealth, position, or honor. I want to talk about that for just a second. Wealth, position, and honor, because I feel like those attributes can be taken into our life. Here's the areas that we're going to be successful in. And Proverbs 31 is going to show us all these areas. Now, fellas, I know Proverbs 31 is about a woman. But I promise you, you can take these same thoughts and apply them to your life. So I'm going to kind of skip around the chapter a little bit. If you're trying to follow a straight line, it's not going to work. But in Proverbs 31, we're going to see that the noble woman, the virtuous wife, this lady, is she successful in her finances? So on your notes, make sure you write down, in my finances. She budgets, she saves, she invests. We've got to be successful in our finances. Look in verse 13, it says, she finds wool and flax and busily spins it. I like the fact that she finds it. No one gave it to her to do work. She's not at her job and someone just throws some wool and flax and says, spins it. It says she finds it. She goes out and finds something for her hands to do. She puts herself into a place of making money. She is like, verse 14, she is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. Verse 15, she gets up before dawn. Uh-oh. It doesn't say she sleeps till noon. Men and women, both. It doesn't say she sleeps till noon. It says she gets up before the sun gets up to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. In other words, she's a good leader. A good leader is going to get up and they're going to plan the day. They know what their people are going to be doing. She gets up and she gets things going. Verse 18, she makes sure her dealings are profitable and her lamps burn late into the night. Uh-oh. This lady's a hard worker. She gets up before dawn. She stays up late. She's working hard to make something happen. It says she makes sure her dealings are profitable. I want to tell you something today. You may be single in the room today, but it doesn't mean that you can't be profitable in life. As a matter of fact, you should be more profitable. because the rest of us are having to feed little mouths and spend money on other things, and we've got all kinds of stuff going on. The Bible says that whenever you're married, and we'll get to this later, you're not focused all the time because you've got so many distractions. The same is true in your success. If you're in the season of single, this should be a great time for you to be profitable. I love the fact that she finds stuff to do. She finds ways of making money. She is an entrepreneur, right? She is finding ways of making money. She is successful, or we can be successful in our work life. What does that mean? That means we got to work hard, we got to learn, and we got to grow. Also, it means that we need to be promotable. We need to invent things. The definition of success means to accomplish something in wealth. We talked about our finances, but also in position. You can change your position in your work life. And it says here, look at the lady in verse 16. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. In other words, she's going out and making investments, right? She's going making investments, and then she's planting vineyards. She's inventing new ways to make money. She is inventing new ways to work. She's coming up with new plans all the time. It says in verse 19, her hands are busy spinning thread and her fingers twisting fiber. Verse 24, she makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. This lady has a lot of stuff going on. She's got a lot of stuff going on. And I think that's important to see. How it's not a matter of being busy. It's a matter of she is out there hustling. And sometimes what we do is we sit back and we wait for someone else to hustle and support us. It's nobody's job to support you unless you're living under the roof of your parents and you're not yet old enough to work. I've told my children, as soon as you're old enough to get a job, you're getting a job. Right? Like, that's how it's supposed to work. And we don't need to sit back and wait on someone else. We need to get busy about doing some things in our work life. I was talking to someone one time. I was doing some marital counseling with some folks. And in counseling with them, one of the things I just began to ask them is, I said, what are you doing in your life right now that you wish you could do better? Or what is the area that you wish you had more of? And one of the things they said was, well, I wish I had this job. Like, one lady was like working some little job, and she said, I wish I was a nurse. Because if I was a nurse, I could make more money. I could be more fulfilled. It's more along the lines of what I want to do. I could advance. I could move up where I am. I'm stuck. And I said, well, why aren't you a nurse? And they said, well, you have to go to school to be a nurse. And I said, well, why aren't you in school to be a nurse? And she said, I don't know. And I said, well, take a class. Like, all you got to do is take one. And then you move on to the next one. You move on to the next one. Like it doesn't have to be a one-year project. This can be something you work on for a while, but you can get there. You can make yourself promotable. You can put yourself in another position without waiting on other people. Do you know that lady right now? I went to an ER one time or some kind of hospital, and whenever I walked in, she was the one there caring for people. She's a nurse. She just worked her way up. I mean, listen, it doesn't take a spouse for you to study. It doesn't take a spouse for you to crack a book open. It doesn't take a spouse to go on a job interview. That stuff you can do all by yourself. And I think sometimes we get stuck in this mindset of, I'm here and I'll never be there. But God never called you to just be here. Like, there's something else you can always do to promote, to be in a new position. And maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. That's great. How can you be a better stay-at-home mom? What can you study? What can you learn? What podcast can you... You know, there's things you can do to grow and develop and be promotable. It's important for us to do. And that's what this woman was doing all the time. The other thing that we can be successful in, the Bible says... The definition said wealth, it said position, and it said honor. Honor has to do with not only your personal life, but has to do with your ministry life. And I want to look at this lady. See, we need to be working on, we need to be doing, if you're single today, you have more time, you have more ability to be able to be focused on some things. You can help out at church. You can volunteer at church. You can help your neighbors. You can go on missions trips. You can up and do. You can be more spontaneous than some of the rest of us can. Take advantage of that while you're in the season. The Bible says that this woman, verse 20, extends her helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. Verse 26, when she speaks, her words are wise and she gives instructions with kindness. In other words, she's getting up and talking to people. She's teaching other people. She's taking the opportunity to help the poor, to help the needy, and to instruct people and preach and teach. She's using what God has given her and the time He's given her to be able to minister to other people. She's being successful. And the last thing is this, we want to be successful in our personal life. That means your health and home. Look at verse 17. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. Come on, Tim. That's the girl Tim's looking for right there. He told me the other day, he said, I need somebody that's strong. I can't have no weak woman. Know what you said? She needs lots of energy. She's hopped up on caffeine, right? She got that pre-workout in her. She's ready to go. And so it's important to see that she is energetic and strong. Look, I tell people all the time, get your personal life together. You'll feel so much better about yourself if you get healthy. I'm not saying you got to do what I do. I'm not saying you got to do what Tim does or what Leah does or Perry does. You don't have to do any of what we do, but do something. Get yourself strong. Get yourself some energy. The science says this, whenever you exercise, you have more energy. You think it makes you tired, but it really gives you more energy. It's important for you to exercise, to get mobile, right? To work out, do something. Verse 22, she makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. In other words, she's not walking around in her pajamas at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. She gets up, she makes her bed, she gets dressed. She is taking care of herself personally. It drives me crazy to go to Walmart and see people walking through Walmart in their pajamas. I mean, maybe you worked all night and maybe you just got up from your nap. I get it, but put some clothes on. I got pajamas. I wear them at home. The only time I wear my pajamas outside is if I've got to run, go take the trash out, and run back in. Put some clothes on. I know that's not biblical, but, well, it is, because the Bible says she gets dressed. So if you're mad, you want to email somebody, email God. See what He has to say. Verse 25, she is clothed with strength and there she is, Tim. She's still strong. She's clothed with strength and dignity. In other words, she's got good posture. She stands up straight. She's taking care of herself. She looks in the mirror and says, I love you, right? Like she knows who she is. And she laughs without fear of the future. In other words, she ain't worried. She's not walking through life scared and moaning and groaning and hunched over in fear and cowardice. No, she stands up strong. She's got dignity and she's not afraid. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, that's one of those areas that I pray about for myself. God, help me to watch over my household. Help me not to be lazy. My wife went out of town yesterday and she said, hey, while I'm gone, do you mind making sure the house doesn't blow up because you got all three kids, because we got small group coming over, we got things happening. She said, make sure the house isn't a bomb when I get home. So all of a sudden she texts me. She says, hey, the tournament's over. We're on our way home. I was like, kids, time to clean. Let's go. You know, like I just thought, uh-oh, I've been a little bit lazy. Like I got to get up and we got to get things moving. She got home. She's like, the house looks great. And I'm thinking like I'm kicking stuff under the bed as she's talking. You know what I mean? But we can't be lazy. You got to take care of your household. Listen, I am not one to really be a good example for you on this, because when I was single, I didn't do these things like I should have. When I was single, there was times I wouldn't wash my bed sheets. I would just take them off the bed and be too lazy to wash them. So I had a king-size bed and a sleeping bag in the middle of it. And that's how I slept, in my sleeping bag, until I felt like washing my sheets. I would let dishes pile up in the sink until it was finally the point where I needed to eat on something. And then I would put them in the dishwasher. How lazy is it that I had a dishwasher and I didn't wash my dishes? I would finally put them in the dishwasher and I'm eating out of a Frisbee, right? Like, don't be like I was. Thank God Perry didn't come over much when I was single and see all of that. It's important to see that you got to take care of your household. Some of you are living single right now. Make your house look good. Take care of some. Make your bed. Get up in the morning and make your bed. It'll make you feel good when you get back home. I hate making the bed. But when I do make the bed, I come in and I just think, It feels good to get into a made bed. I don't know why. That's so weird, but it works. Some of y'all shaking your head like, no, it doesn't. That's because you're lazy and you don't want to make up your bed. Make it up. See what happens. You're going to get in bed with a smile on your face. Let me give a quick example. I have a friend of mine that when I was growing up, when I was an early teenager, before I was allowed to stay home alone when my parents would go out of town, we had this close friend of the family named Lynn, and she would come over and she would stay with me, make sure I got to school and all that kind of stuff. And Lynn just became a part of our family. She was like a sister. But Lynn was like in her 20s and maybe into her 30s and still wasn't married. And so there was a lot of people, you know, always commenting to her about marriage and needing to find a guy and all this kind of stuff. And for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. But one of the things I noticed about Lynn that just really stood out to me, and in my later years, I thought, man, what a great example she was Lynn worked as a nurse, actually, in an ER. She worked hard, and because she was single and she didn't have a family to support, she would work on holidays. And I remember we would invite her over for Christmas, and she would come over after having worked all Christmas Eve and into Christmas morning, making triple time and just making money, just steady making money. And because of that, come on, God, really, help me. Because of that, one of the things I noticed about Lynn was she was able to start going on mission trips. One time she just decided, hey, for the summer, I'm going to go spend the summer in another country. And she would spend summers in other countries. Then one time she said, I'm going to go spend a year in another country. Then one day that led to, I'm going to go work in California. I'm going to move to California and work with Teen Challenge, which is a program at the part she was in was for girls, and it was like girls that have been on drugs or girls that have been struggling with addiction and helping them get straight. And she just devoted her life to ministry and loving people and being successful. And it was in those later years that she ends up meeting a man. They get married. They've got a beautiful daughter now, and she's still working and doing a great job and serving the Lord. And it's amazing to me to see that somebody that didn't settle for, I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to just, you know, do whatever and be lazy and lower my standards and just settle for whatever. No, she said, I'm going to be successful and single. And then as God brings me to another level, He will. We've got somebody in our church. Stand up, Christina. Not that everybody doesn't already know you. Quicker than that. Now, if I said sing a song, you would have jumped up on stage and shouted and danced and done all your stuff and your earrings flapping. I know. Okay, this is Christina. I'm going to embarrass her real quick, but it's dark in here, so you don't know that she's embarrassed. And so I want to tell you about Christina. You can sit down, Christina. I want to tell you about Christina. I was going to have her come up on stage and talk, but she's a better preacher than I am, so she would take over. But Christina is single. She wasn't always single. When I met Christina, she was married. But she and her husband went through a time and they ended up getting divorced. Her husband ended up passing away. And so Christina knows more about single than the rest of us. She's been through the I'm single and not married. She's been through the stage of divorce and widow both. And you know, Christina had every opportunity to just sit back and relax and do nothing. She's got a degree, she had a job, she had every opportunity to just sit back and say, I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to just motor through and just do my thing and keep going. But instead, it was like in this moment of chaos and tragedy that she ramped things up. So like Christina literally is successful in ministry. She's got, if you guys have been here for Gateway Christmas, we have a group called Workmanship Incorporated Week. They come in and they dance for us every Christmas, and we love having them. That's her group. Like, they travel all over the nation to other countries even, and they perform and minister and touch people's lives. She also speaks, goes out, and she speaks on her own and does motivational speaking and preaches, and she does that by herself. Then she also has a job as a masseuse, and she's got different things going with that, different organizations. She's always got something happening, and she makes time to come up here and sing for us. I mean, she's constantly doing stuff. She's successful and she's single. She does more than a lot of married folks I know. But that's where God, that's the lane God has her in. And she decided, I'm not going to go 25 in the fast lane. I'm going to go 85 in the 70. Like, I'm just going to put the pedal down and I'm going to get it. Right? It's important for us to see that there are people among us that are doing this, what I'm preaching about, they're successful. And for those of you that are single, she's a great touch person. She's a great person for you to go to get to know, to say, hey, how are you doing all that? And how can I do it? You know, can you help me? And she can. The second thing we got to be or have whenever we're single is we got to have high standards. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen in single people is today we've got this idea that you've got to lower your standards to the world's standards in order to get somebody. First of all, we already said we're not worrying about getting somebody. We're worrying about being somebody. And in order to be somebody, you've got to have a standard that's better than the world's standard. The Bible says in Romans 12, I didn't put this on the board, but in Romans 12 it says, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, don't conform to what culture says you're supposed to do. I was talking to someone the other day about a single person, and they were coming up to me saying, hey, what do you think about this single person? Don't you think they need to get married, and don't you think they need to do this? And I said, well, they're doing a good job, they're doing their thing, and they're making money, and they've got a good job and a good home, and life is going really well for this person, just like they are right now. And I'm sure God's going to bring somebody if that's what that person desires. And the person was like, yeah, but you know what? They're not going to be able to find, like, they've got these high standards. They got to find a virgin to be married to. They got to find this. And that's not what the world is like today. And, you know, they're going to have to sleep around with some people. They're going to have to live with some people. This happened in church. And I said, no, I don't think you're right. See, I feel like there's still a place where we can have high standards. The Bible has yet to call us to lower our standards. Jesus said, He said the Old Testament gave you some standards that you thought were high, but I'm going to raise the stakes a little bit. He said the Old Testament said, don't commit adultery, but I say, don't look at a woman with lust in your heart. Jesus raised the standards and said, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for you, but if you will raise your standards, if you will keep high standards, your life will be better. Look at what 1 Peter says in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. See, what we do sometimes is we slip back into our old ways of living just to get what we want, to get that desire. And Peter says, don't do that. Keep your standards high. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. The word holy means set apart. It doesn't mean perfect. It means set apart. God is holy. He's set apart. He's different from the world standard. And what you and I need to do is we need to be set apart. We need to be holy. Our pursuit should never be how close to sin, the sin line can I get? It should be how close to God can I get? Every single time. Be set apart. Be different. Don't be like everybody else. 2 Timothy, Paul tells us in talking to Timothy how to become holy. Verse 19, it says this, chapter 2, verse 19, it says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call out to the Lord out of a pure heart. We need to remember, don't be common. You're valuable. You're valuable to God, just like you are. You're valuable to God. Don't settle for being common. Look, I've got in my house, just as a weird illustration, in our house, we're blanket people because I like the house to be cold in the wintertime. I don't like to run the heat because that costs money and I'm cheap. And so I like blankets, so we get blankets for everybody and everybody's got their favorite blanket. I've got a blanket. Like, I spent a little bit of money on this blanket. I've got this blanket, and I will kick a kid out of that blanket and use that blanket if I have a chance to use it. I like my blanket. Perry's got an electric blanket because she has no blood running through her body in the wintertime, and she's like ice. And so I get her electric blanket to melt her down so that I can touch her again. And so we have our blankets. Now, listen, if I were to spill a drink on the floor, I'm not going to grab my blanket and wipe up the drink. I'm not even going to grab one of my towels from my bathroom and wipe up the drink. I'm going to go down to the laundry room where we got a basket of rags. And I will grab that basket of rags and I will take the nastiest old rag that we have washed. I don't keep dirty rags in there. I'll grab this nasty old rag and I will go clean up the mess with the nasty old rag. And what we've done in life is sometimes we settle for being a nasty old rag in the laundry room instead of being a blanket that God can use. And we are settling for being a common, nasty old rag that smells most of the time, even after you wash it. That's what happens when we lower our standards to get something that we think we want. Keep your standards high. Yeah, but the nasty rags get used the most. They get used the most, that's right, but they don't get used for good purposes. God's got a higher calling for you, so you got to have a higher standard to get to that higher calling. You got to view yourself as valuable. You got to look in the mirror every morning and say, I am valuable. Without somebody standing next to me, I am valuable. Last time I checked, Adam was doing things before Eve showed up. Like, he had value. Now, the fact that he was a man and God looked at him and said, this dude ain't going to make it long at all. Like, he's sticking his head in the lion's mouth playing around. He's going to get killed. I got to give him somebody to give him some sense. But that was Adam. That's not you. The third thing is this. We've got to be spiritual. We've got to be spiritual. I can give you all the common sense stuff and all the practical stuff you want. But at the end of the day, you've got to be spiritual. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it needs to be thriving. Paul said, your relationship with Him should be better than everybody else's if you're single. 1 Corinthians 7:32 says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking about how to please Him. In other words, an unmarried man, an unmarried woman has the opportunity to focus on God, to focus on His relationship, to really think and plan out, this is how I want to serve God. It's important for you to see that Paul was single and he encouraged other people to be single because he said your relationship with God will be better. It will be better because you can focus more. So let me just run through a couple of things that will help you to be spiritual, to have that relationship with God. Don't have any idols. Don't have any idols. Focus on God. Bible said, Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. When you're single, sometimes you have these idols that you set up in your life. You have the idol of marriage. You have the idol of sex. You have the idol of self-pity. You have the idol of material gain and wealth. And so we build these idols and we think, if I get somebody, if I can just get a man, I'm going to get this stuff. And the Bible doesn't say that at all. We've got to be focused on God. We can't have idols anymore. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on Him. In the old story about Peter, the disciple that jumped out of the boat in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm, and Jesus is walking on water, and Peter says, hey, can I walk on water too? And Jesus says, yeah, come on. And so Peter jumps out of the boat, and the Bible says he walked on water. But it said whenever he lost focus of Jesus and he started looking at all the distractions, then he started to sink. It's important to see today that if you lose distraction, if you're focused on all these other things, if your only focus in life is how to get a man, you're going to forget about God. You're going to forget about God. We can't have idols. We got to be able to pursue righteousness instead. We got to train ourselves in godliness. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. We need to learn how to trust in Him. If we seek Him, if we pursue Him, He will supply all of our needs. He'll provide everything you need. But you got to learn to trust Him first. And I know that's not easy. I get it. There was a time in my life, let me just throw this little portion in here. There was a time in my life when I was single, when I had dated some people, but realized that the whole dating thing that I had been going through was not exactly what I thought it was. I didn't like the way things were going, and so I decided to take some time off and just really devote myself to God. And I said, you know, God, I'm going to devote myself to You for the summer. You know, I'm real spiritual here. I'm going to give You 3 months, you know, and I'm going to focus on You and not focus on relationships. I'm just going to focus on You. So I gave God 3 months of my life. When that 3 months was up, I realized that I still wasn't dating anybody, and that was okay. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to keep focusing on God. How can I just keep focusing on God? And how can I learn? And I had friends that would come up to me and they'd be like, man, you need to go talk to this girl and you need to do this and you need to do that. And now I have other friends come up and they're complaining because they're a little bit older than me. And they're like, I'm not even married yet and I really want a girl. And I was hearing all this noise. And I just really decided to focus. I just really need to seek God. And if I will really seek God, He'll bring the right person to me. And I remember after a period of time, I had always known Perry and had always, you know, kind of liked her from a distance as far as I thought she was a pretty girl. I thought she had a lot of things going for her. After she got her braces off and got her hair fixed, then she was a pretty girl. No, I'm just kidding. And so I really wanted to like Perry, but I just thought, you know what? God hasn't allowed that to happen, and so I'm going to just back off. And I remember the first time kind of trying to kind of talk to her a little bit, and it was a total bomb. Like we went... Jonathan was playing basketball, and I went to watch Jonathan play basketball. I could care less if he was playing basketball. And I just wanted to sit next to Perry, and I positioned myself next to Perry. And we talked for all of 2 minutes in the game. Like, and I just left there kind of feeling defeated. But whenever I left there, the thought hit me, hey, you know what? This isn't what you're doing anyway. Like, you're supposed to be focusing on God, and I'll provide a way. And sure enough, He did. And He blinded her, and she fell in love with me. So we got to learn to put our faith and trust in God. Matthew 22:37 says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your mind. It doesn't say that the greatest commandment was find a spouse. It says the greatest thing you can ever do, spouse or no spouse, is love God with everything you've got. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. We've got to just trust Him. Trust that He's got a plan for you. Trust that He's got a life for you. Trust that He's got things happening that you don't even see yet. You got to trust Him. Sometimes whenever my kids, when it's around Christmas time, they end up getting a little bit of money. Or maybe around their birthday, they end up getting a little money. And all of a sudden, they want to go buy stuff. I want to go to the store. Colt is the worst. I want to go to the store. I want to go buy some Legos. And I keep trying to tell them, buddy, if you will just... Don't go buy Legos. Just save your money. They're like, I don't want to save my money. I want to go spend Legos, you know. And what they don't know is that I've got a plan that I can't talk to them about yet. Because I've got a Christmas plan. I've got a birthday plan. I've got a plan that I'm going to provide the Legos that he wants. The problem is he is trying to bypass the order to which he gets it. And he wants to take matters into his own hands. And what he doesn't get is that if he goes and buys the Legos now... he won't get anything at Christmas. And what we've got to remember is we've got a Father in heaven that loves us. Don't bypass His order. Trust Him. He's got a plan. I promise He does. Yeah, but my season is long, Pastor. I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do about that. You got to trust Him in the season. There's dry times in the Bible, but the Bible also says that even in the driest desert, that He can provide a way. Even in the driest desert, He can bring up springs of water and springs of life. So you got to just trust Him. There's my final thought today, and then we're going to dismiss. My final thought is, I might be single, but I'm not alone. I might be single, but I'm not alone. John chapter 16, verse 32. Check this out. This is Jesus. But the time is coming... indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered. He's talking to his best friends. There's a time coming, and it's already here, when you will be scattered. Each one going his own way, leaving me alone. I'm going to stop right there for a second. This is how often single people feel, is they feel like everybody's doing their own thing, and I'm by myself. I go to church on Sunday, I talk to my friends, but then all the married couples go to Munoz and I'm going home and eating by myself. I go to work and everybody's talking about what their kid did or what their spouse did and I'm all alone. I get on Facebook and every post, Pastor Gabriel's posting pictures of his wife and his kids and his fun stuff that he's doing. And I'm all alone. Jesus said there's coming a time when all my best friends are going to leave me. They're going to walk out on me. And I'm going to be by myself. I'm going to be single. But I love the next sentence. It says, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. See, this is the place where we need to get today. If you're single today, this is the place you need to get. I didn't always understand it when I was single. There was times when I did and times when I didn't. But we need to get to a place where we are satisfied and we are content and we are enjoying life with the Father. To where we don't have to have somebody else because we've got a relationship with God. And maybe you say, Gabriel, you know what? That just doesn't satisfy me. Well, the chances are, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but the chances are you don't have the relationship with God that you think you got. You might have a label that says Christian on your t-shirt, but you don't have a relationship with the Father. Today we need to learn that I'm not alone. I might be single. I might be by myself. But I'm not alone because the Father is with me. John 8:29, Jesus again, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him. In John chapter 4, Jesus talks to a lady who's just struggling in her relationships. She has bounced from husband to husband to husband. Continually getting kicked out of the house, continually leaving, going through multiple divorces. It's just not been a good road for her relationally. And she's finally to the point where she's living with a guy, but it's not a real relationship. She just needs a roof over her head. So she basically becomes what some scholars say is almost like a slave to this man. The Bible says Jesus meets her in the middle of the afternoon getting water from a well. And they say, the scholars say that the only reason a woman would go to the well in the middle of the afternoon instead of the morning and the evening was because she was a reject and nobody loved her. She was all alone. She was all alone. But when she came to the well, brokenhearted and hurt and busted up, she met a man named Jesus. And Jesus told her this. He said, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. And what he was saying, he wasn't talking about the water in the well. He was talking about her lifestyle. And he says, you know what? You can get satisfied with a man at a time like you've been doing, but you're always going to get thirsty again. You're always going to lose that satisfaction. He says, but those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty again because it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. There's a place with God that He wants to put life inside of you. The Bible says that we receive the Holy Spirit. At salvation, you know, we have to confess. The Bible says you have to believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible even talks about being water baptized. But then the Bible also says you have to receive His Spirit to live in you. You have to allow Him. And what that Spirit is that life-giving water that He is with you wherever you go. The Bible says that His Spirit is a comforter, a helper, a teacher, a guide. His Spirit loves you and cares for you and lives in you and lives through you. Today, I just want to kind of end by saying this. Psalm 34:18 says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and some of you are brokenhearted today. Some of you come in here hurt and lonely and struggling. And at the beginning of the year, here's what we said. We said we want to be like the cave of Adullam. Some of you may not know what that is, but in the Old Testament, there was a man named David, and David was supposed to be the king, but he was running for his life. And so the Bible says that he hid in this place called the cave of Adullam. And while he was hiding in the cave, that all of a sudden, all these other people that were depressed and discouraged and in debt and being chased by the king, and they were lonely and they were hurt and they were brokenhearted, and church had hurt them and the kingdom had hurt them and people had hurt them, they found the cave. And when they found the cave, they went inside the cave and they found a king. And the Bible, in the next chapter, after we read about the cave of Adullam, it goes on to speak of all these men that were called the mighty men of valor, the best of the best. And it says, and these were the men that found David in the cave of Adullam. So what happened in the cave? They went in brokenhearted and they came out champions. They went in discouraged and they came out men of valor. They went in lonely and they came out as a band of brothers. What happened to them in the cave? In the cave, they were transformed by getting in the presence of the King. This church is the cave of Adullam today. This is your cave today. And there's some of you came in here hurt and bitter and lonely and discouraged and depressed. But today you're going to get in the presence of the King. Jesus is here and He loves you today. And He wants to transform your life. Won't you stand up with me this morning?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.